You live on Facebook.
All right, guys. Sorry, I think I'm live again. I'm going to. I think we're going to have to. Can it?
The previous video ended, Barry. So yes. We're going to have to broadcast again.
Yeah. So I am broadcasting, and I'm just going to try it again. Oh my goodness, this is great. So I think we got into a loop, and it kept on repeating over and over, and it never stopped. It was a lovely idea.
Yeah.
And okay. And
we go live, and then I'll share it again.
Yeah, I am live now.
Okay.
So I'm just going to, sorry everybody.
I don't think there's anybody there to apologize to.
Yeah, well, it's being recorded, so we're a little bit ambitious with what we were trying to do, and in theory it was going to work, but it didn't. So, oh well.
Hey ho.
Hey ho.
Okay, I have gone live on a Father to You, and I'm sharing it now to my public page. So we're now live on Facebook, Barry.
Okay. Fantastic.
Hey, you've got subtitles.
Yeah, I don't know how all that works. I can't even find it now on it's on Facebook. It's on fatherheart.tv, right?
Yeah, it's on fatherheart.tv. Hey everybody, we're really sorry about what happened just a few minutes ago. The technology, no, I don't think the technology was wrong. I think Barry and I were too ambitious, and we were trying to broadcast to YouTube and Facebook at the same time, and we spectacularly failed. So we're really sorry for that hassle, folks, and hope you guys can come back in. For some bizarre reason, Barry has subtitles on his Facebook. It's me. No, both of us, we've got subtitles on your Facebook feed, Barry, which is new. Anyway... So, folks, we're on Facebook. We do apologize for not having having it sorted out. But, hey, good to see you all. Welcome, everybody. Okay, Barry.
All right.
We're live.
Yes,
live.
I am. I am trying to I'm trying to get on my own feed here. My gosh, this is crazy. It was. I felt like I was losing my mind. It was this... I don't know what you guys were hearing on the Facebook live feed, but because Mark was trying to broadcast, I was trying to broadcast. It was on YouTube, but we were on Skype. It was like I was hearing all these. It just went in a loop and it never stopped, and I couldn't. I had no idea. So, my goodness, I think we're good now.
Well, we've got 36 people on your Facebook connection, so that's
yes.
Pretty good.
Yeah, so, sorry guys, you know, this is one of the things, and we're going to talk about sonship and how sonship is expressed. Sometimes it can be messy. So, anyway, yeah, so there we go. I got to get rid of
We were having a lot of fun. We spent 2 days practicing this, and we thought we had it sorted, but we both have a Skype connect. We're both Skyping each other simultaneously, which is crazy. And we're on Facebook and YouTube, and it just blew the system. So thank you. Thank you for bearing with us. We really appreciate it. What a laugh, eh?
Oh, boy, it is good, though. It's good. So we want to talk about... I've got a note here on Father... Heart.tv that something went wrong. No kidding, something went wrong.
Something went wrong. Yes, we know that.
Okay, I'm going to go
trust
like this.
Something
now.
Is going right now.
Okay, so now I'm posting on. I'm just. Oh my gosh, this is. You know what? This is one for the books. I mean, you know, this is our inaugural. I don't know how much we want to share this one, but hey, listen, we're on now. You're here. We're here. Praise God. So. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out later.
Yes. We'll have a...
Anyway, welcome everybody.
Yes, welcome everybody. And we hope that, you're... Thanks for persevering with us. So, Mark, do you want to start by talking about what your thoughts were for this inaugural...
Yeah, sure. We just kind of want to have a discussion together and, obviously join in on the text. I can't actually see the text. I can't see the chat on Facebook, but Barry can. I mean, I can if I look something. Anyway, don't worry about that. So I'm just going to be flying here and see where we go. And Barry will pick up on the comments on the chat. But kind of just want to have a discussion together on how sonship is expressed. Because really, I've just been struck again. There's a verse in 1 John chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, where it says, if we claim to be in him, we will walk as Jesus walked. We will live as Jesus lived. Mm. And that really kind of says to me that if we claim to have, you know, if we claim to live in love, then we will automatically express and live the life of a son. Mm. And, you know, for me, that's kind of what this is all about, is that we walk in sonship with our Heavenly Father. In the same way as Jesus walked in sonship. And I was just thinking back over the years, really. And for me, when I was about 20, somebody had a word for me that I'd learned to be a servant, but God wanted me to be a son. And the moment they said that, it resonated with my spirit. It resonated in my heart, and I knew this is what I wanted, but I didn't know what it meant. And I didn't know what it meant to live as a son. And I was very good at doing servant. I was very good at it. I had a lot of practice at it, and actually I enjoyed it, and it was a lot of good fun. But suddenly I'm being encouraged to be a son, and I feel like this is resonating in my heart. And that word, that prophetic word, stayed with me for 21 years until I was in Toronto in May 2002 at the Father Loves You conference. And the session, the evening before the conference started, we just went to this evening session to get through our jet lag, and James Jordan was speaking, and he spoke on sonship. And suddenly, in that evening, I knew what sonship was all about. And I remember James saying to me, well, not saying to me, I remember James saying to 2,500 people, I think Barry was actually sitting on the front row that evening, but it was another year before we actually met each other. But I remember James saying, and for me, this is when what I'd been waiting for 20 years, what I'd been searching for, what I'd been longing for, it suddenly all made sense. Because James said, in the middle of his talk, he said, we know that God is a father, but we haven't known him being a father to us. And in that moment, suddenly everything made sense. And I knew that if I was going to live as a son, if I was going to walk as Jesus walked, then somehow I had to allow God to be a father to me. And what really struck me, what really hit me in that moment, was just those two words. Literally, just as James was saying that sentence, those two words, we have to allow God to be a father to us. And it was, you know, whether we say to you or to me or to us, it was like that was the hammer blow. That was the thing that suddenly made sense, that I needed to find a way to allow God to be a father to me. And suddenly it was like, what I'd been looking for, what I'd been searching for, what I knew it existed, but I didn't know how to find it. I didn't know how to get hold of it. Suddenly, in like two words, I know what it means. That God has got to become a father to me. And over the last, how many years is it? It's 2002. Over the last 18 years, amazing, 18 years, I feel like I've just been on this journey of more and more allowing God to be a father to me. and walking in sonship. And, you know, I often ask myself, what comes first? Is it the revelation of sonship, or is it the revelation of God being a father to us? And for me, all I can say is, once I had a revelation and a deep heart connection of God being a father to me, that suddenly I knew what sonship was about. I mean, I've been learning about it for the last 18 years and walking in it and so on, but it was like when God became a father to me, I would say that's when my sonship really began to be expressed. And I kind of, after that first session, I had this question, and this question was, how do I let God become a father to me? And, you know, the rest of that week, that conference, it was just soaking in it and living in it and learning about it, and suddenly seeing that this is the theme of the scriptures, you know, God being our father. And so really that's kind of how it started for me. And I think for many of us, it's the same sort of thing. It's like when we can come to that place of allowing God to be a father to us, it births sonship in our heart. And so for me, that was the beginning of my journey, kind of 18 years along the road, still learning what it means to be a son. But Barry, why don't you come in and tell us how it started for you?
Well,
way back when.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the same, you know, it's the same journey that how can we, you know, really be a son until we know the Father, right? Because we have to be fathered, and of course, with me, it's like you, the time has flown by, and I can't believe how long it's been, that, you know, 22 years almost since I've been walking in this revelation. But yeah, I just feel, I remember when hearing Jack Winter, one of the Father's Love Forums, talk about how the best way that Jesus could live on planet Earth was to be a son to his father, because it's sons that look most like their father. You know, if you want to know what a father's like, all you have to do is look at their son, you know, and or daughter, or, you know, and that could be, you know, mothers or fathers. But and so, you know, when you look at Jesus and how you know, his whole life was about being fathered by God, right? And if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The words I speak are not my words, but the words of him who sent me. I only do what I see my Father doing. Son can do nothing of himself. And so, you know, this journey of sonship for me, again, is it's the more that I believe that I'm loved, the more that I believe that I, as we were on the other day with Peter, and, you know, just that amazing broadcast, and hearing how Pete said about God being delighted in us, you know, the more that I actually believe that's true, you know, the more it just gives me freedom to explore what does that mean practically in my own life. And you know, even when we were going to get on the webcast, I was so ready to actually kind of put into practice this expression of sonship. I just got a brand new green screen set up yesterday, and so, you know, I was going to be flying in outer space and all this other stuff, and then everything kind of went sideways and continued to go sideways after we went online. But I, one of the things with that, you know, learning to be a son or daughter, and of course the spirit of sonship isn't a masculine term, it's the spirit of the Son, right? And the more that we are like Jesus, as, you know, the more we're, who is like, is the exact representation of the Father, the more that we are conformed into the image of God himself, because we are in our union with Jesus. But for me, it continues to amaze me, and I guess it shouldn't, but I guess it's the remnant of the orphan belief system that's still there, that God actually likes me. He actually, you know, and of course in John 16:25-27, when he's talking to his disciples and he says, you know, and he's talking about after he rises from the dead, and he says, in that day you will no longer ask me for anything. You are going to ask the Father in my name. for the Father himself loves you. You know, it's that filial love, that which is, it's not the agape love of the unconditional love, but it's the family love. It's the brotherly affection love. It, and again, that's the love that, you know, the Father likes you. He not only loves you. And so the more that, you know, I feel, and you know, I'm getting a little long in the tooth. You know, I'm going to be 60 years of age this year, and I'm still learning that, you know what, the Father loves what I love, and to be able to find expression in my own unique sonship in that sense, you know. And again, it's a non, you know, it's being the Spirit of the Son, is being able to find joy in what I love to do, because when I experience, it's just like the Chariot of Fire movie, right? Where the runner in the movie said, when I run, I feel his pleasure. And so I think part of my own journey, and it's been a continuum, is being able to believe that what I love to do, God loves, because he created me to do these things. And Philippians 2:13, for God works on us to will and do according to his good pleasure, right? So I'm starting to understand that. And so again, even today with all the crazy, you know, technical stuff that was flying around, and Mark and I were really ambitious. You know, we had this idea that we thought, okay, you know what, Mark, you broadcast to YouTube, I'll broadcast to Facebook at the same time, and you know, not understanding, we got into a loop of that never ended with audio with each other. But I still think the Father enjoys the process. I think he enjoys when his sons are willing to explore things and to kind of try to push the envelope, even if we, you know, we pushed it a little too hard. So I don't know if that makes sense to you, Mark, but for me, it's, you know, the great commandment, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And I think, you know, so many times, so many of us struggle with self-hatred in some way, shape, or form, that we can't believe that God loves us the way we are. And I'm not talking about our brokenness. I'm not talking about sin. You know, as John Arnott says, you know, he loves us too much to keep us that way, because he wants us to be free. But I'm talking about the very, very core of our being, what makes us come alive. So, you know, so I don't know if that makes sense, but yeah, so that's where I feel that it's a continuum, that I'm learning to grow and take risks. And one of the things, you know, with the whole idea of, you know, living in this world where we're so preoccupied with comparing ourselves with other people, to be able to just be yourself and to have the courage to be yourself, and you know, whether people like it or not, you know, it's you kind of risk that sense of rejection. And I think the more that we hear it from the Father, here, you are my son, you are my daughter, in whom I'm well pleased, I think the more we will have courage to go out and just be a manifestation, a one-of-a-kind, unique expression of his image. So,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, just when you started talking, Barry, I just glanced at the subtitles that were being put on Facebook. And one of them, I said, the spirit of sonship. And Facebook interpreted that as the spirit of sunshine. And I just couldn't help laugh, and I thought, you know what, that in a way expresses it, is the sunshine comes alive, you know, the sunshine comes alive in your heart.
Yes, absolutely.
And it was just so funny to sort of glance to the side and see that just literally at that moment, and I think, you know, that's a hilarious translation, you know, interpretation of what we were saying, but actually, it is like, you know, the light goes on. It's like there is sunshine in your heart. That, you know, today, I don't know, it's been like where you guys have been, but today has been a beautiful, glorious day, 21 degrees Celsius, lovely and warm. Of course, we can't go out and enjoy it, but it's great nonetheless. But it's like I knew something in me came alive that hadn't been alive before. And, you know, that's not to say I wasn't a Christian. I had been a Christian for 30 years. I knew the Lord. I wanted to follow him. I'd given my life to him. I enjoyed a lot of things I was doing. But it was when I knew that God was a father to me, it's like there was sunshine in my heart. And I was, you know, one of the verses that has really struck me over the years is in Job 36, verse 16, where it says, he's wooing you from the jaws of distress to a spacious place, a wide open place, free from restriction, to the comfort of your table, laden with choice food. And, you know, that's what it feels like to me. It feels like I have been led into a wide open space, a spacious place free from restriction. And, you know, I want to stay there. And I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back to the jaws of distress. I want to live in this place of freedom, this place of liberty, this place that is free from restriction. See, I think, I really believe that we put so many restrictions or limitations on ourselves out of our performance. It's like we're trying to play a game, and we're trying to do the right thing, and we're trying not to do the wrong thing, which sounds very much like the tree of the knowledge of good and evil from the garden.
Yeah.
And, you know, we think that doing the right thing is good and not doing the wrong thing is bad, but actually they're both the wrong tree.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't want to go back to that. I don't want to go back to the game of what is right and what is wrong and how do I please God? What have I got to do? It's like there's a freedom that's come in my heart and I don't want to go back.
Yeah.
And I want to live in this spacious place. And, you know, I really believe that what I've experienced in the last 18 years is just the beginning. You know, I want to experience more of that in the next 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, because I believe the Father's taking us on this journey. And if we ever stop, we've just limited God to the size of our own mind, which is kind of crazy. So for me, it's not just about, you know, it was discovering that God was a father to me, but it was actually beginning to experience freedom and stopping playing the game that many of us call Christianity. And actually, it's not much fun. Because it's taking us back to those jaws of distress. And for me, I don't want to go there. And really, I guess over the last couple of years, I've really come to appreciate the second part of that verse where it says, the comfort of your table laden with choice food. That this place of freedom, this place of where we're free from this wide open space, it's a place full of good things. It's a place of comfort. And I'm learning, I guess, to live from a comforted heart. Which is, you know, not just dealing with the past issues where I've needed comfort, but actually getting a surplus of reservoir of comfort for tomorrow or next week or the week after. And I'm enjoying it. So, yeah, there we go, Barry.
Well, you know, when you're talking about the spacious place, right, it's really, it is, as Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom's sake that Christ has set us free, and Papa loves it when we're free, and he, you know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so, like, I think what we're talking about is we're all on a continuum of learning to become more and more free, right? Free to live in love, free to find expression in who we are, and free to stop comparing ourselves with other people, free to just be, you know, just be free to follow our heart and to even know what that even means. So, yeah, I just, you know, to me, that freedom comes when we know that it is that God has designed us to be free. He hasn't designed us to live in a cage, you know. No. I mean, the great proclamation of Isaiah 61, when Jesus read that in the synagogue to announce his public ministry, was that he was proclaiming freedom, a release for prisoners in the darkness. And so, I don't know, I think, like you said, like in our own good intentions, you know, we try to say, okay, what does God want from us, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, we can be preoccupied with that. I remember hearing I think I heard Bill Johnson directly say it, that, you know, how young people would come to him and say, what is God's plan for my life? And, you know, and it was as if he would have the, you know, the answer. And he, you know, and if I remember correctly, he said, do what you love to do, and as you do it, you raise the dead, heal the sick, and cast out devils. But what does God want for me? What is his plan for me? Well, whatever, do whatever you want to do. And then, you know, and I think that's, I believe that the more that we believe that we're lovable, in the moment, I think there's this idea that if that we condition our acceptance based on change, on some kind of transformation. That if I don't change, then I'm in the pursuit of transformation so that I can be accepted.
Yes.
But like, what does life look like? You know, what does life look like when we live from acceptance? Not in the pursuit of acceptance. And I think that, you know, where we know we're accepted in the beloved. And this is, to me, this is where sonship has its greatest manifestation.
Yeah. No, I agree. I was watching you and Peter, have a conversation on Monday, which was great fun. Really enjoyed that. And one of the things Peter Jackson said, was he said, you know, if he's watching us, I'm really sorry, I'm not quoting you exactly, but it was along the lines of, you know, the problem is many of us live a shame-based life. Mm. And when we live a shame-based life, we don't feel we're good enough. Mm. And if we don't feel we're good enough, we feel we have to do more or have more to try and make ourselves have some intrinsic value.
Mm.
And, you know, I guess part of my journey into sonship is actually realizing I don't have to do anymore. I don't have to have anymore. You know, did the shame fall off in one moment? You know, probably not. I think it's been a sort of gradual process of just walking away from it and actually recognizing that I am enough, you know. I still fail, I still get things wrong, I still have my bad days, but I am enough.
Mm.
And, you know, I guess, you know, that's something I'm learning. And I just remember, looking back over the years, how much the words we read in the Bible have become real. Like, I'm actually starting to read what's on the page.
Mm.
And so, like John 8:34, it says, you know, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. A slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever.
Mm.
And for me, I guess part of the journey is actually knowing in the core of my being that I belong.
Mm.
That I've got a permanent place in the family. That as a son, I really belong. I belong to the Father. I am his and he is mine. And, you know, I just want to encourage you guys that are watching this evening that as a son, as a daughter, you belong.
Mm.
You've got a permanent place in the Father's family. And no one can take that away from you, you know, because that's the truth of our inheritance as sons and daughters. And very often we live as slaves, we live as orphans, we live with the weight of shame upon us.
Mm.
And that robs us of that sense of belonging.
Mm.
And it's as we grow in sonship, I believe we become more and more rooted and grounded in the family of our Father, that we know we have a permanent place. And we know that no one can take that place away. And, you know, I think for me, part of this revelation has been, you know, it's okay. I am enough.
Mm.
I don't have to do more. I don't have to have more. Mm. I can just let that all go.
Mm.
And the Father loves me. The Father, you know, that verse, John 16:27, the Father himself loves you.
Mm.
I mean, that's got to be one of the best verses in the Bible. You know, I mean, that's just it in one sentence, really. You know, four or five words, the Father himself loves you.
Mm.
Full stop. As you Americans say, North Americans say, period.
Yeah.
You know, that's just like, if only people would get hold of that as the fullness of the gospel, we would see lives transformed. It'd be amazing.
And I think that's the cry of the human heart, right? That is that is the absolute cry of the human heart, that will somebody love me the way I am? Will somebody affirm me? And can I belong somewhere? I think it was in, if I'm not mistaken, in Jack Frost's book, his first one, Experiencing the Father's Embrace, where I read about the four basic emotional needs of a human heart is to be loved unconditionally, to belong to somebody, to feel praise and affirmation, and have a sense of purpose and destiny. And when I think of Jesus at the waters of baptism, when he came out of the waters, and the Bible says that the windows of heaven were torn open over him, and this is before he did anything in ministry to earn or deserve some kind of affirmation based on his works, the Father says, "This is my Son whom I love; in him I am well pleased." And I believe in that one statement of affirmation that all four basic emotional needs of the human heart were met. This is my Son, that he belonged to the Father, right? In whom I love, unconditional love and acceptance. In him I'm well pleased. Where it just touched that praise and affirmation that God is actually happy over our lives. And then the Bible says immediately he went to fulfill his destiny by going into the wilderness. And so, I just believe that this is foundational. This is the kind of touching on the why we were created. You know, we talk about the mechanics of the gospel, but when we drill down into the why, why did Jesus come? Why were we created in the first place? It was because of the Father's great love to have children and to expand his family and to speak those words. So preaching to the choir, brother.
It's good, and I feel like this journey of walking as Jesus walked, it's like, what does that look like? What does that mean for us? And people want a formula, don't they? How do I walk as Jesus walked? What does it mean? What does it look like? And tell me what I have to do to walk as Jesus walked. And I've come to the conclusion, for us to walk as Jesus walked, it's actually nothing to do with doing what Jesus did. Because you can go through the Gospels and you can write a list of all the things Jesus did, and you can stick that on your fridge with a magnet in the kitchen, and you can start ticking your way off. But the reality is that if we did that, none of us would have ticked many things off, would we? I mean, I've managed to walk on water, but it was frozen water. It was in Finland. It was ice. You see, so I've never changed water into wine. That's what I'd like to do. But it's not about, I really believe it's not about doing what Jesus did.
No.
If we're going to walk as Jesus walked, if we're going to live in sonship, to me, it's having the same heart as Jesus. And, what was Jesus' heart? What was the heart? And the heart, it says in John chapter 5, he says, "I only do what I see my Father doing. The Son can do nothing on his own." And for me, if we're going to walk as Jesus walked, it's having that same heart. And I guess we've all looked at the Lord's Prayer many, many times. What does that mean? What does that mean for us? And, how can we interpret the Lord's Prayer? I actually think it should be called the Sonship Prayer. But that's another point. But, I've kind of melted it down, if you like, I've tried to make it really simple for myself. What does it mean, your kingdom come on earth, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? What does that look like for me, doing this webcast tonight, going to the office tomorrow, being a husband, being a dad? What does it look like, your kingdom come, your will be done? And I've broken it down into its basic simplicity for me, and it's really like, Father, what little bit of heaven do you want me to bring to earth today? And For me, if we ask that question every day, what little bit of heaven do you want me to bring to earth today? Mm. I believe if we do that, we will be walking as sons and daughters.
Mm. Well, and when you look at even the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 and 23, it's really the personality of God, right? And it's like, and it's not our fruit, it's the Godhead's fruit. And so, you know, that manifestation of the kingdom on earth is a manifestation of the personality of God living in us and through us, right? As sons and daughters. And I think, you know, and again, the, you know, the Lord's Prayer, as you say, the only ones that can pray that prayer are God's kids. Right?
Yeah.
Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. And so I just think the more that we understand who we are, and the Father's amazing love for us, his eternal affection for us. It's interesting when you quoted John 5, you know, where Jesus says the Son can do nothing of himself. The next verse says, for the Father loves the Son.
Son, yes,
and shows him all that he does, because he's, you know, part of the family business. And interesting enough that when I mentioned when in John 16 where Jesus says to us, the Father himself loves you. He uses the word filial love, which is that brotherly affection. It's that affectionate love. Well, when he says that about himself in John 5, he uses the same filial love. He doesn't use agape love. He uses filial love. The Father himself loves the Son. He's affectionate about the Son. And so it's not only that the Father loves us that way, he loves Jesus that way. And of course, then when we look at the implications of John 15, as the Father, filial loves me, I have loved you, remain in my love.
Yeah.
And so I think it's about, you know, being comfortable, like you said, in our own skin. It's being comfortable with love, being comfortable not having to be defined by a broken world system, or even broken parents, or experiences that we've had, trauma that we've had in our life that has defined us and caused us to be less than what the Father says we are. So.
Yeah.
Good. No. Good stuff.
Good stuff. I mean, I guess I keep coming, you know, I guess we regularly come back to the story in Luke 15 of the lost son.
Mm.
Well, it's actually the lost sons, because they were both lost. And, you know, neither son had a heart of sonship to their dad.
Mm.
You know, one went off in rebellion and the other got stuck in his religious duty. And, you know, when the younger son comes home, I mean, basically he's hungry. Mm. You know, he wants a bed. He wants a roof over his head and he wants some food.
Mm.
He's not thinking sonship.
Yeah.
You know, he's thinking, I want some food.
Mm.
And he comes home, he's got this speech prepared, you know, I'm no longer worthy to be your son, I'm just happy to be a servant, just feed me, give me a bed, put me to work, and that'll be good enough.
Mm.
But the father has none of it, you see, because the father in Luke 15 has read what we just referred to in John chapter 8.
Mm.
See, that father knew that the son belonged to his the family forever.
Mm.
And it was as the father ran out to the son, threw his arms around him, put the robe on him, put the sandals on his feet, put the ring on his finger. In that moment, the father was being a father to him.
Mm.
He was expressing his fatherhood to his son. His son wasn't actually interested at that point in time, wasn't interested in being a son or having an encounter with the father. He just wanted food. But in that moment when he's welcomed home, the father is doing what he has always done and been a father to him. And it's that embrace, it's that welcome that changes that son's heart, where he can receive his father being a father to him. You see, there's a huge difference between having a father and having a father, you know, having someone being a father to you.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, a lot of kids, they know they've got a dad, but that dad is not being a father to them.
Mm.
But our Heavenly Father, he's not just a father, he's not just the father, but he is being a father to us.
Yeah.
And it's that welcome whether it's the Father's embrace or whether it's just a welcome of love that awakens something in our hearts and enables the transformation of our heart to take place, where we can say, gosh, God really is my Father.
Yeah,
I'm son. And you know, my prayer for us today is that we just go a little bit deeper in this and just say, Father, you know, see, I think all of us, you know, if I asked all of you watching this now and watching this later on, you know, do you want to walk as Jesus walked? I think everybody would say yes, you know. But the key for me is, well, how does that happen? How does that work out? What does it look like? And it's us stepping into the Father's embrace, being welcome in his arms, being welcome in his heart, that changes our heart so that we want to become Father pleasers. You know, I tried hard to be a Father pleaser, a God pleaser, and it's hard work. But actually, when my heart is melted by love, there's a desire in me to please my Father simply out of the love that is in my heart. And my prayer for us today is that we would go on receiving that love, the Father's love being poured into our heart, that would awaken something in us by the Holy Spirit, that would turn the hearts of the children to the Father, and we can really begin to cry out, Abba, God, you really are my Father.
And I think the journey of sonship is a journey where we go from being legal sons to God to being sons in our heart, right? So each and every person who has been born into the kingdom of God has become a legal son or daughter to Almighty God. And, you know, because we were born into his kingdom by virtue of what Jesus did on the cross. But just like our own, you know, our own family situations, that when we were born into our family, we became, you know, we on our birth certificate, you know, or, you know, if you were born with a mother and a father, that you were in the family system, but, you know, you became a member of a family legally. But there's this journey of growing and becoming a son or daughter in our hearts, and some people never, ever do that. And so I think, you know, one of the beautiful dynamics of just this growing in love is learning more and more in our hearts that, you know, that we're not orphans. We're not. Yeah. Oftentimes when people think about, you know, being adopted into the family of God, they actually think that they're an orphan that God plucked out of the orphanage and he placed in his family. But, you know, we really don't belong to him. We, you know, we're not a legitimate son or daughter. We've been brought into the family. But the truth is that we are sons and daughters to him. You know, we are actual legitimate sons and daughters.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love listening to Trevor Galpin talk about what... I mean, he doesn't use the word adoption, you know, but because it gives us this misconception of that we didn't belong, but we do.
Yeah.
But somehow that never does it for me. And, you know, I love listening to Trevor explain actually that we've always been his. We've always belonged.
Yeah.
And what we've done is just been redeemed back in, you know, we've been brought back into the fullness of what we lost through the fall. And, you know, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
See, I really believe the Father wants us to live as sons and daughters.
Yeah.
Because it's sons and daughters. We talked about this, I think, last week on the webcast. It's sons and daughters that receive the inheritance. And the inheritance is the inheritance, the promise is given to Abraham of the nations of this world coming to us and us going to the nations. Not with our good works or our good deeds, but with the love of the Father, living as Jesus lived, walking as Jesus walked.
Amen to that, my brother. So how do we wrap this up? It's all good stuff, huh? Do you want to pray?
Let's do that, shall we?
Goodness.
Yes.
Yeah. That's good.
Well, we've had so much fun doing this. Thank you, everybody, for bearing with us.
Oh,
on
my
our
goodness.
I don't know what it will look like next week, but we will definitely not be trying to do YouTube and Facebook at the same time. We'll probably see Barry spinning around in outer space because he'll be able to do that. But let's just open our hearts to the Father. Let's just open our hearts to him, just in these moments. Just in the quietness of your own room, the quietness of your own place, just open your heart to him. He's never going to condemn you. He's never going to judge you. He doesn't want you to carry that weight of shame anymore, where you feel there's always something more you've got to do, something more you've got to become, something more you've got to have. He doesn't want you to carry that. He wants you to let that go. And just to know in your heart that you are enough.
Yeah.
And the reason we can know that we're enough is because he is enough. He is all we need.
Yeah.
He's not a God of judgment. He's not a God of anger. He's not a God of wrath. He's a God of love.
Yeah.
God is love. And right now, right this moment, wherever you are around the world, he's pouring his love into your heart. And I just invite you to just take a few moments to receive that love. Just to receive his love being poured into your heart.
Yeah.
We thank you, Father, that that's what you're doing right around the world right now. Not just for those who are watching live, but for those who are going to watch later on. Father, you're pouring the substance of who you are into our hearts. And we receive that, Father. Father, we thank you that you are a Father to us. And it's that revelation that will open our hearts to walking as Jesus walked and living as Jesus lived. Father, I just ask for each one of us that you would draw us away from the jaws of distress into a wide open place that is free from restriction, where we would discover that table of good food.
Yes, Lord.
And so, Father, we just ask you to come right now and pour your love into our hearts. That in that moment of welcome, whatever we feel like, you are being a father to us.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. And amen, brother. That was very, very awesome. Yeah. Thank you, everybody, for coming. And this will be up live, it'll be up afterwards because it won't be after the fact, but it will be on Vimeo, so you know if somebody, you want to watch it again outside of Facebook or you want to share it with anybody, it will be on Vimeo and on fathertoyou.com, on Mark's website, and on my website, fatherheart.tv. And so yeah, this has been rich, my brother. Thank you, and this is fun. Believe it or not, we were very, very confident. In maybe a little
too confident.
Maybe too confident when we got on here, but we've been humbled a little bit, and as little kids, can you imagine little kids if they tried to walk one time and they did and they fell down and they never walked again, right? And we're going to be like little kids, we're going to keep getting off. And we'll get it right. So, but bless you.
We'll be back next week.
Yeah, we'll be back same time, and I think we'll probably do the same thing, whether it's, we just have to sort out who's streaming what.
Yeah.
So bless you, and I'm just going to just end with this little 2-minute video of God's kingdom gift that I just feel like, as you go, be blessed, and know that it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So thanks, Mark, again, my brother.
Thanks, Barry.
It's always a joy.
Thank you for joining us.
And thanks for everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, thanks.